It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
I don't know what hit me in the last couple of days, but I cannot recall a time in my adult life when I've been sicker. This was an intestinal GI. I don't want to go into it because the details will make you sick, but, you know, understand that I've not had any hot water since last Friday. It's been a week with no hot water. I haven't had a shower in a week. I admit it. I mean, you can smell me coming, right? During my show last Friday, Friday the 13th, you remember, I had a pipe blow, and it turned out to be the hot water main under my new kitchen floor. I say new. That floor wasn't new, but it's a new home for me. I'd only been in it a couple of days. And that flooded, you know, $15,000 worth of new floor. And still no resolution. There's been no showers. There's been no clean clothes. There's been no clean dishes. And to add insult to injury, after two loads of washing right after I moved in, my washing machine died. It's only 2 years old. Bought it from a client. And it couldn't be repaired. So I had to have a new washing machine delivered today, but I still don't have any hot water to go in the washing machine. Wouldn't you like to be living with me right now? And to finally put the capper on all of this, so much has been going on. It's been so weird in this great new friendly community that I've moved into, this condominium complex. They left me a wonderful gift this morning, and that was a ticket on every one of my cars that are parked outside saying that they're going to be towed away tomorrow. You know, when that place flooded, everything that was inside had to go back outside into the garage. So the cars had to come out of the garage. And I've explained it to some people, and hopefully it's sunk in with the Happy Homeowners Association, because if they're towing my cars away tomorrow, I'm suing. The attorneys have been lined up, and you know who they are, braced in an order and good to go. And that's how I spent the last couple of days. How about you? I've been living in the bathroom for the most part because I never knew which end it was going to come out of quicker. This was just a rough one. I mentioned last Friday, what a day, after we'd mopped up everything in the house, we got the hot water turned off. Life was sort of normal for a minute. I left my home momentarily to run down to the bank to pick up some cash for my handyman, whose name is Shannon. This guy can do anything. I love him. And in the process of doing that, something happened that I alluded to. I told you that I thought I'd been scammed. I'd gotten some gas. I pulled into the 7-Eleven parking lot, and something happened. Well, I can now say I was scammed. It has been verified by the police via witnesses and video that they thought they didn't have, but they do. And at the time, I wasn't really willing to commit to saying that I was scammed because anything could happen. I could have missed something, but I didn't. So I can say I was scammed, all right? With that in mind, and I've gotten that from the highest level of law enforcement, past and present, witnesses and video, cleared me of anything that I could have possibly done. At noon today, we have a very well-known scam expert joining us. I will introduce him at this time. I will tell my story in its entirety, and you didn't miss anything. If you look at my Facebook page, you can see individuals in big print. Did I miss the scam segment? It's not on the podcast. No, it's not, because it hasn't happened yet. It's happening today at noon. You have less than an hour, and I'll explain what happened. All right, and we'll end all the mystery. Speaking of podcasts, a ton of you have inquired about the Jeff Beck tribute. I did when Beck died. I spent 40, 45 minutes talking of the man and what an influence he'd been on my life, and I'm still just rattled by that. Like I said on a Facebook piece today, when he died, he took a piece of me with him. And we lost Crosby, too. I'll get to that later. But there is no podcast with Jeff Beck. Corporate rules forbid us for playing commercially released music on our podcast. I don't understand why, because we pay our ASCAP and BMI at Radio Talk. We should be able to do this, but I'm clueless. They're the boss. I'm not. So that's the way it is. If I'm ever doing a musical tribute to somebody, if they passed away, you got to hear it live or it's forever in the ether. It's gone. All right. So that's what I got to say about that. Joe Biden has something to say about his handling of the documents. He says, hey, he has no regrets, no regrets on how he handled all of these documents. He should have one major one. He was the vice president. He wasn't entitled to handle him. Only Barack Obama could have handled him. And I'm sure we haven't heard from him saying, oh, no, I gave him permission. I mean, the documents, apparently, in terms of numbers and the content, were a lot uglier than what President Trump was sitting on. And again, let's go back to this initial thing. He was the vice president at the time. He had no legal authority to finger these documents in any capacity. So I'll read you Biden's statement about this fiasco. You judge about the documents. And something I would have bet money on, egg smuggling. You heard egg smuggling into the USA has skyrocketed. And you know, the one country that's getting a big giggle out of this is England, because eggs are still a very cherished bargain for them there. And if they live in the countryside, they have chickens, period. It's like, you know, it would be like having a refrigerator or a dryer or whatever. They have chickens. So they always have eggs. Everywhere you go in the countryside, eggs for sale, eggs for sale, eggs for sale. And they're good, too. It's just funny that eggs now are in the black market. So much going on, so much I want to make. You know, one thing I have to say is I want to apologize to Michael, my producer. It wasn't my fault, but I got sick on the day of the AEW event at the Save Mart Center. We couldn't go. Michael didn't want to go alone. I don't blame him, because I don't like going alone to stuff either. I would have done the same thing. So we both missed it. And Mitzi, thank you for the tickets, but I'm just crushed that I wasn't able to go. We were going to have some big fun. It was going to be a great release for us. And of course, I watched it on TV, and it was a bit, if you were there, if you saw it, it was a big show, surprise, somebody turns heel, one of those deals. You know, somebody would have never expected to turn into a bad guy. She turned into a bad girl with somebody else who's always been what they call in the business a face. So they decided to do this in Fresno, and I'm sitting in my rocking chair that I bought from Lou Rodman, the Amish rocking chair that's so famous, watching this thing going, I'm supposed to be there. Oh, wait, I have to go barf. All right, did I misthink? Back it up. Oh, look at that. Oh, I have to go barf again. It wasn't easy even to watch it, you know? But, Michael, I'm sorry. The great thing about it is they got a much bigger crowd than they expected on their first turn through Fresno by a few thousand. So typical to these organizations, they'll roll right around and pop right back. I bet they're back within 3 months. I'll make that money bet right now. Getting back to the news of news, instead of the news of fun and all this stuff, Donald Trump's campaign has gotten off to kind of a slow start. I don't know what's going on, but he's saying that he's going to make a speech in the very, very near future that's going to shake the foundation of this planet. I don't know if that's Donald Trump's typical bluster, or if he's got something up his sleeve. This I would have bet on, since I'm in a betting mood today. Nikki Haley says she may be running for the presidency. She has a very good chance of becoming the first female president. I think she could beat Donald Trump. I don't know if she could beat, you know, the governor of Florida, but I would say that she has a chance. She's better known. She was a governor. She did the political side as an ambassador. I mean, she knows this. She's highly qualified to be the president of the United States. Quickly, mass killing avoided. Southern Indiana, a disgruntled employee from a Walmart goes into a store, starts emptying his gun, wounds somebody. But the police were on top of this one for a change. Well, I don't mean that, but no, by luck and by expertise. I don't mean, it sounded like I was belittling police. No. Anyway, they went into a what witnesses say was a minutes-long shootout one-on-one, and they dispatched this guy. But experts are saying, with what he had with him, the firepower and all that, he could have killed 20 to 30 people in minutes. So this is one where even though somebody was wounded, there was a very happy ending. We'll talk about David Crosby from the Byrds, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I'm going to play you my all-time favorite Byrds song. It's called Lady Friend, and I'm betting not a one of you has ever heard of it. It was a last-released single before they broke up. It went nowhere, and I think it's the best piece they ever did. It's a Crosby piece. This is why he was so disgruntled in the band. They never did any of his songs that he wrote. I'll play you this one. You judge. I think it's a fabulous Byrds number. It's all coming up on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Ray Appleton here. Glad to be back. I'm still not feeling 100%, but I'm better than sitting in my rocking chair and throwing up every 10 minutes. Let's put it that way. Thanks.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
It is good to be back. I mean, you know I cannot stand being away from my job. That's the truth. I mean, after 35 years, who says that? But I don't have a job. You know, that's it. I've never had a real job to do a living as long as I've been alive. That came out wrong, but you know what I'm saying. I'm damned lucky and thankful every day of my life. But all I've done is flap my jaws, you know, so to speak, or play records, you know. Ooh, that was real tough. Today's Daily Buzz question, KMJNow.com. Valley leaders are targeting fentanyl traffickers, and they're working hard, you know, to put them behind bars. A worthwhile effort or a waste of time? What do you think? What's your observation of this? Let us know, KMJNow.com. The Buzz question is sponsored by Dr. Buzz, miracle worker. Allergy, asthma, and sinus centers. I have very high impressions of Dr. Boz. He's become a personal friend over the years. But, I mean, not only is he an allergist, he's an immunologist. So, I mean, he's got it down, man. He's got it down. Hey, my thanks to Blake for filling in. Gary Bredefeld for helping Blake. Clint Olivier yesterday. Guys, appreciate it. This came on real fast. Is there something going around, you know? I mean, because I hadn't heard about anything like this buzzing through the territory. I mean, it's just like getting the old intestinal flu, which I haven't had since I was a kid, you know? I mean, what is this noise? And again, to do all this without any hot water. Lord in heaven. I just, this move. Yay. I'll shut up now. We will talk about David Crosby in a bit. Scamming in the next hour and the story of what in the hell happened to Ray Appleton on Friday the 13th after the house flooded. The new house. Joe Biden has no regrets about handling classified documents. You were the vice president. You weren't supposed to. I think you're going to find there's nothing there, Biden telling reporters as he toured storm damage here in California. I have no regrets. I'm following what the lawyers have told me they want me to do. It's exactly what we're doing. There's no there. The AG Merrick Garland last week named a special counsel to investigate the matter after more classified documents were found at the Wilmington, Delaware pad, you know, and the Washington, D.C. office that he used before becoming president. We're fully cooperating, and we're looking forward to getting this resolved quickly. I bet you are. Biden said, you know, he'd been doing as instructed by his lawyers. So a handful of documents were found in the wrong place. That's a quote from him. He said the documents were immediately turned over to the National Archives after they were found. Now, the White House, if you've been following this, has been largely on the defensive since the initial revelations, which I think were just after or at the end of the first week of January. Biden's legal team has acknowledged as late as last week that it had found classified documents relating to his time as vice president in the Obama administration at the Delaware home in the same garage where he keeps the Corvette. Aides previously found that other batch of classified documents at the residence and the Washington think tank he's associated with. So there have been three sets altogether. I'm hearing rumors, and these are going to be verified by next Tuesday, and I got this from the highest authority, of classified document grabs number 4 and 5 have yet to be announced. So there could be a total of 5 that we know of. And Biden expressed annoyance at being asked about the controversy while touring the damage here in California. He said, excuse me, and I quote, "I'll answer your question, but here's the deal. You know, what quite frankly bugs me is that we have a serious problem here we're talking about what's going on, and the American people don't quite understand why you don't ask me questions about that." And I guess he's talking about the damage here in California. Was that what he was alluding to? I don't know. But he has issued a formal statement about the documents, and I'm going to get to that shortly. But speaking of California and the storm damage, it's interesting to note that Fryant has more water than it can handle. And the city of Fresno wants it before it's lost to the ocean. After a month of more, I'll have to call it more than abundant, showers, rainfalls. The drought that, you know, has become a common word here in Central California is, it ain't a drought anymore, you know. And this city wants to have a go at, wants to have a shot at, wants to have an opportunity to buy discounted water from Milton that would otherwise flow down the river and out to the ocean. First, this is a gift from God. Why the hell do we have to pay for any of it? Since when do you pay for the water that comes out of the heavens? But, you know, it can be the old, well, you know, you got to pay for the storage. And so the council members voted unanimously. Thank you, council, for finally coming together and do something right. They voted unanimously yesterday to put together a contract with, I guess it would have to be the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to, you know, write a big check for a share of the non-storable flow waters. I guess you'd call them that. Excess water that otherwise would be shot out to the Pacific Ocean, because we all know how much water the Pacific Ocean needs. It's been so low, you know, that it needs all of this rainfall to get up to beach level. Oh, my God. So anyway, allegedly, this excess water would be released to make more room for more rainfall and more snow melt and the runoff behind Fryant. It should be at a discount compared with the city's other normal water allotment from the San Joaquin River. The director of public utilities for the Fresno area told the council members that we have a longstanding contract for up to 60,000 acre feet of water each year. The actual amount the city gets depends upon the overall volume of water that's, you know, made available, that goes up on the block from the water contractors. But in a season of heavy-duty rainfall, such as we've, you know, been dancing with so far in this year, after so many years of drought, the city's anticipation of non-storable water becomes available from the Fed. It's based on more water coming down into the dam than it can take advantage of. That's a quote from the individual who's the director of public utilities. So while the city, you know, relies on surface water from both Millerton Lake and Pine Flat Reservoir to supply a couple of water treatment plants providing water to our homes, the purchase of the excess water from Middleton would be routed to the Irrigation District and the Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control District, and there it would be stored in flood control and groundwater recharge basins operated by the two agencies. Bravo. There's more to this, I want to tell you, because this is essentially fairly good news.
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton podcast, or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
Many of you are asking online, when are you going to get to David Crosby? When are you going to get to David Crosby? In the third hour, most likely, for a little bit. Still blown away. The comment that he made apparently before his death and asked if he was going to be going to heaven. He goes, no, it's too cloudy up there. I still get a kick out of that one. He had a notoriously sardonic sense of humor. He was fearless. He lived so dangerously. He was one of the absolute defined epitomes of a bad actor in rock and roll. And he made it to the finish line at age 81. He absolutely made it to the finish line. We used to take bets on who was going to OD next. And he was always at the top of the list, him and Eric Clapton. You know, they're next. And they didn't. He did, but it was naturally. And God bless him. Getting back to this water thing, but let me tell you, James Perry is one of the top fraud and scam experts in this country. Since 2000, he's been, you know, fighting these things. He's part of the National Consumers League, where he is the Consumer Services Coordinator. He has many, many, many credentials. And one of the reasons I'm having on is because having him on is I can officially say now I got scammed. Last Friday, Friday the 13th, after the calamity in my home, there was one other little calamity later that evening that was witnessed by many. Some of you even saw it. Yeah. Now, this water thing. The question I have is how much is it going to cost the city of Fresno? And that's an unknown factor at this point. In previous years, when we've been able to buy this excess water, it's about $10 per acre foot. Okay? Now, what's an acre foot? An acre foot is the volume of water necessary to cover 1 acre of an area with 1 foot of water, which is about, I think it's under 330,000 gallons, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. And our budget as a city includes about $2 million to cover the cost of purchasing water for conveyance through the canals to deliver it to Fresno and our homes. So if we can grab this, and again, I thank the council for voting unanimously. Good gone, council. Saying it like my grandmother. She can never say council. She always said cancel. Like cancel the order. The Fresno City Council. The city manager, George Ann White, said the federal pricing is dynamic and subject to change. The Bureau of Reclamation sets the price, quoting her, right now everybody's trying to find a place to put water. We won't take more than we can put somewhere. Hey, I've learned that my family room and my living room is a great storage area for water at my new place. If you want to throw some there, hey, be my guest. Can't do any more damage than already been done. So the city was only recently notified by the federal agencies that excess water is indeed expected to be made available to downstream water contractors such as the city. So, folks, let's get her done. Let's get her done. Speaking of the cancel, gentleman that was in here the day before yesterday with Blake, Gary Bredefeld, turned out to be in league with Miguel Arias. Bitter enemies, but on the same page when they talk about ending the Zoom city council meetings. The two councilmen, usually totally against each other, joined up to fight this idea of meeting online. They routinely find themselves at odds. I mean, you know they don't get along. But they wanted to get rid of these meetings that happen on Zoom. You know, there's a backstory here. Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency due to COVID in March of 2020, which allowed local governments to hold meetings virtually over Zoom. Now, despite the fact that in-person meetings returned to full-time at the Fresno City Council in November of last year, actually 2021, the council, you know, monthly has approved a resolution that allows council members to join virtually and still comply with the Brown Act. And no, these two guys have said that's done. We got to get rid of it. And it's interesting to note the one reason that they shouldn't be meeting on Zoom, other than, yes, they should be all together to do business, just like in the United States House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi kept that door open so they could, you know, basically dial in their votes from all over the world. That has ended with the new speaker. Everybody's got to show up to do their job. Despite the objections from Arias and Bredefeld, the council still passed the resolution 5-2. So, you know, Miguel has long supported the policy, but he says his position changed because the city needs to be consistent in gathering, consistent in considering city employees are expected to work in person. Amen. But let me get to my point. Zoom, Chinese spyware. That's why they shouldn't be using it. That's why nobody should be using it. TikTok, Zoom, Chinese spyware. Take it to the bank. I won't have Zoom or TikTok anywhere near my home. All right? And, you know, I'll just tell you frankly, I don't think I have nothing to lose here. Zoom was determined to be Chinese spyware while Devin Nunes was chairman of the Intel Committee. And it's long been known that Zoom has links to the Chinese Communist Party. So, and you know, a lot of government agencies like to use Zoom. So guess how much they know that they shouldn't know? Yeah, a lot. So, you know, congratulations to Miguel and Gary for, you know, seeing this the way it should be. The obvious problem before them is, you know, they want everybody doing their job as a city employee to be parked in wherever it is they're supposed to be parked in. But the fact that, you know, Zoom is what it is. And I hope they hear this broadcast. And if they still decide to meet or, you know, dial themselves in, which apparently they've allowed themselves to do, just don't use Zoom. Use a domestic product, for crying out loud. You know, don't use something that comes out of China. It's, and what doesn't come out of China? Now, back to water for a moment. And then we have to take a break. Yeah, in 2 minutes. Is California's water racist? Leave it to the left to come up with a theory that California water is racist. There's not a single entity out there that they will not apply that label to. Next, it'll be eggs. You know why? Because poor people can't afford eggs, and because eggs are white. They're racist. But California's water is now less racist, thanks to a new racial equity action plan for water. Say for, you know, a single member of the general public who spoke on the matter, the staff, the stakeholders, and the Board of California Water Resource Control Board Wednesday heaped praise on the State Water Resources Board for the first ever racial equity action plan for water. Can you hear the frustration in my tones? The plan developed over the past year after the board passed a resolution entitled Condemning Racism, Xenophobia, Bigotry, and Racial Injustice and Strengthening Commitment to Racial Equity, Diversity, Inclusion, Access, and Anti-Racism in November of 2021. It was meant to redress the past racial inequities in water supplies and ensure that all future actions taken by the CB, are considered through a lens of racial equality. I'm quoting Celia Pazos, who works with the Santa Regional Subboard, helped shepherd this plan. The plan acknowledges a historic role in creating inequitable outcomes of past, I'm quoting here, water policy, confronts institutional racism throughout all government, and will allow staff to connect the dots between systemic racism and how we do our jobs every day. End quote. What in God's name does that have to do with water? You will find out on the Ray Appleton program at News Talk 580 1059 KMJ right after we take a pause for the cause to make us some money, because we need it. Wait, no, I need it. No, you know, I'm $17,000 out of pocket in the last 3 weeks. I need the money.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers? and Dave Roberts.
Hell yeah.
Search for The Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast. Get Ray Appleton right now. It's free. Or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
So thanks to a bunch of bureaucrats in the state of California, our water is now less racist. Yeah. So what's this plan? The plan, said Greg Gearhart, who's a deputy director of the Office of Management and Analysis, will help alleviate the clear current connection between pollution and prejudice. Now, the director of research and planning says his department will add at least one new employee to carry out the plan. And the additional topical training for the SWCRB will now embark upon normalizing and operationalize racial equity at the agency. But what does this got to do with water? Now, forgive me, this is a Chinese name. Yuanliu. Yuanliu. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sole member of the general non-stakeholder public to speak via Zoom. Wondered if the whole plan was a waste of taxpayer money. This is a racialization of public policy, this gentleman said, after noting he too was a member of the BIPOC community referenced throughout the plan. Mr. Liu then criticized the cultural euphemisms used throughout the plan and worried it would simply enlarge the, you know, growing DIA industry with little or other benefit. I don't know what half of that means, but certainly I'm on the same page with him about this is a waste of time. And after noting potential constitutional issues with hiring, you know, with an eye towards racial balance, that so-called diversity training often actually has a negative impact on workplaces. Amen to that. The same gentleman asked the board to remember Dr. Martin Luther King's dream of his children not being judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character. That's how we should judge people. The board chair, Joaquim Esquivel, replied that the plan was not about politics. Oh, bullsh. And that its evidence shows continued exclusions and inequities that make the plan important. I appreciate your comments, but we have very different views on this subject. While the overwhelming majority of the plan was presented to but not voted upon because it's a living document based upon, you know, the November 2021 resolution, with little comment and no modifications, one aspect did elicit discussion, and that's the community capacity building portion. I mean, have you ever heard such double talk political gibberish BS in your life? It's like, hey, oh, the only thing we haven't racialized yet is water. Let's do it. Let's put a bunch of big words there that not even talk show hosts can read off of the paper, and people will think it's real important. God, it's such bullcrap. Last year, Gavin Newsom signed this bill, AB 2108, which requires the SWCRB, and not, it seems now, for other state agencies to adhere to establish a community capacity building stipend program to promote meaningful civic engagement by less disadvantaged communities and tribal communities in the state board and regional board decision-making process. Ah. You know, and I don't even feel a need to go on here, because this is all just political double talk. It's bureaucratic BSEs, you know? The headline is what got me on this one. And I thought, this can't be true. California's water now less racial thanks to new racial equity action plan by the California Water Resources Control Board and the State Water Resources Control Board. What's the difference? Why do we need things like this? The Chinese gentleman is a Chinese American gentleman is 110% correct. It's a waste of time and money. And why are we racializing something that isn't racial by its own matter, its own material, its own molecules? How can water be racial? Racist. I have a lot more information on this wrestler that was killed in an automobile accident on Wednesday. Mitzi, who manages the Save Mart Center, as I think I mentioned earlier, maybe, that the wrestlers from AEW who came in were all in tears. A lot of the crew in tears, wearing black armbands with the name Jay on it. Jay Briscoe was part of a 22-year tag team with his brother Mark called the Briscoes. And they were sort of household items with Ring of Honor Wrestling, which is now owned by Tony Khan, who owns AEW. Though they did not have a contract with AEW, I think they were eventually headed that way. The Briscoes, they wrestled with every wrestling organization on the planet except for AEW and WWE. They had open contracts with everybody. They were fabulous. They were very well known. They were always heavies. They were always the bad guys. In real life, apparently these two brothers, Jay and Mark, were more giving than any 10 good people combined. And that's what's hurting so many people. His daughters were in the car, and it was thought that Gracie and Jay Lee were killed. They were not, but they are severely injured. And Gracie probably is paralyzed from the waist down. So when we have the time, after we get through our next guest, James Perry, the national fraud and scam expert of the next hour, I will tell you, those of you who are fans of this stuff, exactly what we know now as a major update was just released. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll talk about David Crosby a little bit. And there's so many other news items to get through today. And again, I thank those individuals who sat in for me while I was ill, Gary Bredefeld, Clint Olivier, Blake Taylor, who's had triple duty since he's been back from his home in Albuquerque, where he was working back there too. He had to tend to a family matter. This is KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.